Welcome to our regular sponsorship forum here at CA Health. And I'm Suzanne, Grateful Compulsive Eater, and we have Susan and Cheryl. And here are a couple of things to take in consideration. We're going to be discussing a topic or two. If you have a question, by all means, ask it. There's no absence requirement to ask a question. Please be brief and to the point. If someone else on the line who is a sponsor of 30 days would like to share, it's a three-minute timed share. Susan will be timing. So it is star 6 to unmute your line. So I'm Suzanne, and I'm a Grateful Compulsive Eater. We have Cheryl and Susan here. And we're going to the topic we chose for today is working with a newcomer, working with someone who is brand new to CA Health and maybe even brand new to 12 steps altogether. So Cheryl, would you like to start us off with some shares on working with a newcomer?
Okay, this is Cheryl, Compulsive Eater. For me, basically, what I go to is the sponsor guidelines. That helps me and tells me what I need to do, gives me the basics. And I also have a sheet that I read every time I start someone new, which basically tells them that they need to call on time. This is the time that we have together. And it tells them about how to, the relationship between sponsor-sponsee, how I respect that they call on time. I respect, the respect that develops between sponsor-sponsee, that I do give them their 10 or 15 minutes that they need. The first time we speak will be longer than that because we will cover different things. And then I try to make sure that they read the forever absent, read it thoroughly front to back before we speak the second time. I mentioned that if they don't call on time and they do that three times, I'm going to assume that they're not interested in this relationship, the sponsorship relationship. I try to be careful that I don't come on too strong and too strict. Newcomers are fragile, just like I was when I first came into the program. I didn't know what it was all about. I was scared. I was terrified. I was afraid of change, something new. Seemed like there was a lot of work involved, weighing and measuring, doing questions, calling people, calling a sponsor. So I'm gentle with them and explain everything that we do in this program, how it works. It's important that they get that information at the start because afterwards it's a little tough when we're not careful about, keeping the boundaries, having the phone calls come in on time, making sure that writing is done every day. And I have to be careful afterwards, too, that if they start slacking off on the tools, that I rein them back in because it's important. I know for me, too, that in the past when I've had a slip in program was because I was not careful with the tools. So just making sure that the tools are clear and most of all that I'm here. I'm here for them. They have that time slot. I'm always available. If something comes up, I will let them know in advance. And that they can count on me, and that hopefully this relationship will become a strong one, and their recovery will grow. And it's wonderful to see the growth in newcomers, to see that when they finally get it, and they finally understand that it is about food, because that's where we come in, for the food, but it's so much more than the food that I've gotten out of this program. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, would you like to share a little bit on working with a newcomer?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Susan, Compulsive Eater. I suggested this topic when we were meeting prior to the forum because I have not been sponsoring newcomers for quite some time and have just recently taken on a newcomer and didn't prepare as thoroughly as I should have. So I was very curious to hear what other experienced sponsors do, just a little out of practice and flying by the seat of my pants. So I start with having a discussion and seeing if this person is truly ready to work this program. We have a lot of helpful boundaries around living in each day, and that's a lot for someone to take on. So, is someone ready to weigh and measure their food, abstain from flour and sugar, and read the Forever Abstinent book and understand what our food plan is and what our basic expectations are. Is the person willing to come to 3 meetings a week or be on the phone bridge? Is the person willing to make 3 calls a day and call me on time on a daily basis and plan their food for the day ahead of time? You know, those are just the basics. Is a person ready to do this program? And when the answer seems to be yes, then developing a relationship that's based on trust and respect and patience. I think that was the thing that that I recognized was had slowly but surely developed for me. I started my sponsoring in a very different mode where there was a lot of control and absolute expectation that I do what my sponsor does, and so that was how I was, in quotes, raised to be a sponsor, and you know, that so you listen to me, you do what I do, and if you don't do what I do, forget it. And you know, I'm in a much different place, nearly 10 years of committed abstinence and recovery, and you know, patients that things get missed, even when a person has heard X, Y, or Z about the food plan or the tools. It's a lot of information, and sometimes there are mistakes that are made or just things that are left out, and you know, if it is about starting again with day one of abstinence, giving the message that it's a learning process, it's progress, not perfection, it's all a part of the journey of recovery, and you know, no one is taking away all that you have gained in however many days and then having to start at day one again. Patience on my part, you know, loving acceptance and just willingness to work with the person where they are. I'm sure there's lots more I can say, but those are the thoughts that come up right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Suzanne. This is Suzanne, and I'll go over a few things that I learned and I still have to remember. I remember I was new to CA How and had no program at all for 5 years, but the previous program I had been in had a certain custom, you don't contribute to Seventh Tradition the first 30 days for a certain reason. And so at face-to-face meetings here in CA How, they say instead of putting in money in the basket, we encourage you to buy literature instead. So at my face-to-face meeting, my sponsor noticed I wasn't giving. And privately, she asked me why, and I told her. She says, well, in this program, we do that for one meeting so we can buy literature, but we start contributing right away. Ah, and, you know, so we had that conversation. The other thing is if you're going to be sponsoring someone on the phone bridge, make sure everybody's on the same page as the timeline. So if I'm sponsoring someone in Chicago, we both need to understand 7 p.m. whose time zone, because that could be a big problem. And make sure you have that discussion right away. So I'm over here, it's 2 hours earlier, you're over there, it's 2 hours later. What time, your time, will you be calling? And that will be so-and-so my time. That's really good to get that out of the way, because that can cause a lot of frustration on both ends. The other thing is, I would say, this is really important, it is our responsibility as sponsors that your sponsee get the Forever Abstinent booklet. My sponsor took me over to the table and made sure I had one. And here's the other thing. If you are sponsoring, it doesn't matter if you've been here 20 years. I need the most current Forever Abstinent booklet because, so your sponsee gets the most current one. She's going to say, oh, such and such on page, such and such says that, and you look for your old, tattered Forever Abstinent booklet, and you say, no, it doesn't. Well, yeah, it does. The new one does. So it's always good to have the most current Forever Abstinent booklet, if not for yourself, for your sponsee, so you don't give them erroneous or old information. And the good thing now is the Forever Abstinent booklet will be coming out every 3 years, so I encourage everybody, if you have an old one, please get a new one. It can be quite confusing to your sponsee if you're giving them different information. And let's see, when you get a new sponsee, you go over the things we do and don't have, reading labels, and making sure that they are in a place where they can do that. I had a sponsee that had just bought food a couple days earlier. It was on disability. And I said, look, she says, what do I do? I didn't know I was coming into this program. And I said, well, maybe you can take some of it back. And I said, when you call me back in a couple of days, when you figure out if you're going to take it back or if you're going to eat it because you have no other recourse. Well, the simple fact I told her to take it back, she didn't know she could. She took back 90% of it and gave the other 10% to her mother. So the very next day she called me, raring to go. So those are the, and be respectful of each other's time. The sponsee and the sponsor both have to have that respectful of time. And as I think Cheryl mentioned, yeah, the first couple times, I'm going to give them more time because we need to get to know each other and their story and all that good stuff. But be patient because it is a lot to take in. It is a lot. And I will pass on that. Is there anyone who has a question on, let's see. Yeah, Cheryl or Susan, do you have anything else to add?
I would just, you know, Cheryl did mention the sponsee guideline booklet, and we also have a more extensive assistance for sponsors in the not-so-new anymore sponsoring book. I'm looking for the exact title, but I don't have it right in front of me. Anyway, and that really has a lot of guidance for sponsors to go by.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I got on a little bit, I got on the tail end of the person talking about when the newcomer makes mistakes, and it's not intentional, but just trying to understand the food plan and how to use and apply and incorporate the food plan in when maybe they're not sure. So if during the beginning time the newcomer makes mistakes intentionally, does that you have them start over from at a day one again? That's what I was hearing somebody speak about that, and I wanted to hear that again if you wouldn't mind.
So if someone accidentally makes a mistake and not intentionally does it, they unintentionally do it, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
They mistakenly do that. Susan, would you like to take that?
Yeah, my way of operating is if it is something that is, let's see, if the person has given me their food plan for the day and it's a clear variation from that expected food plan, gosh, you know, there's a lot of gray areas here. If it was truly an unintentional, like I said, X was my vegetable and, you know, I didn't refer back and I had Y as my vegetable, that's a gray area. You know, why didn't you refer back to what you had written down? If it's an omission, you know, I see them as learning opportunities. For me, my belief is I'm an addict, and food is my primary source of my addiction. And this program gives me a very clear way to supersede the addict mind and proceed in an abstinent way. So when a new sponsee does something that is not on their food plan and you know, and then they have to admit it to me, and so then I talk about, you know, the honesty that's involved with coming clean is such an important part of recovery, and we have a, you know, give me a little bit of wiggle room as an addict. And that addict is going to say, I can do this. That doesn't matter. And, you know, rigorous honesty is an important part of my recovery. And that is something that I offer sponsees as well, you know, an expectation of rigorous honesty, starting with around my food and around their food. So, again, it's not absolutely clear-cut, but generally, if it veers from the committed food plan or the food plan as it is offered us in the Forever Abstinent book, then I generally will say, okay, you know, we're at day one again. You lose no part of the experience and the recovery that you've had up to this point. It's just a matter of saying, we're at day one. And, you know, it's all in higher powers time, and, you know, it's not a punishment. It's just a way of saying, this is important. I think I'll stop there, and thank you for the opportunity to ramble a little bit.
Thank you, Susan. Cheryl, would you like to share a little bit on that question?
Sure, thank you. This is a sticky one because I believe that each situation is a little different. First of all, I need to remind everyone that abstinence is the most important part of this program. This happens to be the most important part thing in my life. But abstinence is tool number one. And so when we talk about maybe not being so perfect, if I'm not perfect with those 3 phone calls a day, or anything else, if I didn't do my writing or skipped a day, it's workable, but food has to be perfect. Food, for me, has to be perfect. It's got to be on the scale. It's got to be perfect. Now, granted, I don't take a scale to a restaurant. I happen not to go out that much. But if you go to a restaurant, the first 30 days, we ask that you do take your scale along. After that, it's okay. Now, having said that, if a sponsee makes an error in that she realizes that one of the ingredients were not, let's say the sugars, comes in different forms, dextrose, maltose, different names. If she didn't recognize one of the names and had that by mistake, which in my opinion is something, a newcomer may not know that, but we know that I don't take anything to my mouth unless I'm sure what the ingredients are. And when in doubt, leave it out. But if something like that happened and she's really upset about it and we discuss it, we discuss all the different types of sugars. We discuss that we read every ingredient, you know, and we don't take it for granted because that was okay last year. It's okay this year. Things change. Items and have different ingredients over the years. But we have to be careful with food. Food has to be perfect. On the other hand, if I have someone that's been around for a long time and is getting sloppy with the food, I make sure that we do start over again. Now, starting over is very dramatic with some people. It's devastating to some. It's like, I don't want to start all over again. I don't want to do this anymore. Da, 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 da. And it's like, you know, and I try to take that anxiety away from them. It's like you didn't gain all the weight that you lost so far because of that one slip, because you're starting day one tomorrow. Everything stays the same. The only thing that's going to change is your days, that you start counting the days again. Now, with questions, if it's a newcomer, we'll start again on the question, on the slip questions. If it's someone that's done a lot of the slip questions or maybe most of the slip questions, I'll be careful with that because they do get bored, they get upset, they get angry. We'll do something else. Instead of slip questions, we might go into Asbel Caesar questions, or I might give them questions that I make up, you know, that my sponsor has given me in the past. So we try to work a way around having to do those first 30 questions all over again, because that's also very depressing to some people. But we have to remember, and I stress that, food's got to be perfect. Food's got to be on that scale, and it's got to be perfect. But we all make mistakes, and then each case has to be, I have to take it individually. I have to understand, was there anger? Was there resentment? Was there a reason for picking that particular food up? What happened? I always say, what happened? What were the circumstances around that situation? Did you just not want to read the ingredients? Were you angry? What was going on? And if it's a real simple mistake, it's different than when someone's like, I don't care what it is, I'm just going to have it. So that's very important for me to recognize what's happening. And again, I don't advise. I don't tell people what to do. All I can do is how I experience my program, how I work my program, my recovery, and this is how it works. It works best. Now, again, if it becomes a problem where you see a lot of resentment and you see a lot of rebellion, then we need to change sponsors. But in order for it to be a healthy relationship, it's got to be an honest one. So the first thing I'll tell them when they start telling me about a slip, I'll say thank you for your honesty. Because, you know, there have been times in my life, in the beginning of my program, where I didn't want to be honest with the sponsor because, oh no, if I tell her I slipped, she'll drop me, and what am I going to do now, and all these things going through, all the negative stuff. But then when I was honest with my sponsor, she wasn't going to get me. She was kind, she was loving, she was caring. And we started day one again. So I have to be careful that I make sure that I'm thankful about the honesty and then continue from there. And every case is individual. Every case is different. So I need to know that. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you. I'll just add, yeah, honesty is really, really, really important. And I don't know, sometimes sponsors can come up as punitive, I have been told. I don't have that experience. So just remember, we're all human. I did have one experience. My first one of my sponsees a long time ago bought the wrong grain that we eat in the first 30 days. And she read the ingredients, but it was one of those ingredients that we don't, you know, if you don't know, it wasn't really clear. And she had it once, and I said, let's go over the box. And she told me, she said, let's go to the box to make sure I got the right one. And it was the brand I told her, but ingredients change. I have found that out. So she did not know about the, she had, I don't know, 2 or 3 days. So she really didn't know. So in each, as Cheryl said, each situation is very different. And the food's between you, your sponsor, and God. And it is, you have to kind of gauge the situation. In her case, she really didn't know. She told me, you know, she only had it once, and we discussed it. She took it back. So it's very, I would just say we'd be patient, we'd be loving about it, though, whatever we decide to do. So any other questions on sponsoring a newcomer?
Yes, what's the difference between a slip and a relapse?
Hi, could you speak up a little bit?
Yes, what's the difference between a slip and a relapse?
Oh, boy. Okay. Susan, would you like to take that?
I don't know if it's been defined in our literature. To me, a slip is a mistake, a momentary choice or not to vary from your food plan. And a relapse is a binge, the addict behavior really taking hold, and something that goes on for more than just a brief moment or you know, a recognition of a variation on the food plan. That's my understanding of the two.
Yeah, my understanding is a slip could be a one-time thing, but a relapse is where you just can't get back on the horse and gallop away again. You just are stuck, and you keep doing the same behavior, and it may not even be binging. It just might be eating something over and over again at each meal, or not weighing and measuring. If you're not weighing and measuring, or let's say you have one meal you didn't weigh and measure, I would consider that a slip. But if you keep doing that, that is back into the addiction, and that would be relapse if you keep doing it, or you keep binging, or you keep eating something that we don't eat. Cheryl, would you like to share your definition of slip versus relapse?
Okay, the difference between relapse, a slip and a relapse, the slip is done either in error or it's a one-time thing, basically. A relapse is where you pick up and you sort of give up. You don't want to use the tools. You don't want to weigh measure. It's a form of, I guess, rebelling against program. And even if, because basically if we are not, if someone does not put their food on the scale, it's not working the program. So, yes, if we go out to eat in a restaurant, we don't have to take a scale with. But at home, I know I must put that food on the scale 3 times a day. I cannot get sloppy. I cannot afford to get sloppy. So for me, it means preparing food in advance. If I don't feel like weighing and measuring every morning or weighing and measuring every lunch and I need to prepare for 2 days in advance, I'll even prepare a salad 3 days for 3 days so I have prepared and I don't have to keep cutting it up. Whatever it takes, it's got to be prepared. I have to plan. If I don't plan, I will fail. So for me, putting the food on there, working my program will keep me abstinent. If I don't do that, and I've had a relapse in the past, so I talk from an unfortunate experience, when I stop doing that, it just doesn't happen. And it's so much harder to get abstinence back than to just become abstinent. So I've been programmed for many years, and so I know how good it feels to be abstinent. How my life changed, how everything's changed. I become a different person. I don't want to lose that. And by starting to slack up on tools and starting to decide, well, I know what 4 ounces is like, so I don't need to put it on the scale, that's a very dangerous situation for me. It puts me on a very slippery slope. And the difference between a slip and a relapse is where it goes on. It goes on and on. And before you know it, you know, not weighing and measuring and not watching the foods, you know, the proper meals. And then it goes into picking up the wrong substances, you know, sugar and flour. And that's the end. That was the end of the life for me. This was a few years back. So, you know, I'm a food addict. I will constantly, always, forever be a food addict, a compulsive overeater. And the only reprieve I have today is if I'm consistently in a fit spiritual condition and consistent with my program. It's worth it. It may be hard at times, but it's worth it. Saves my life on a daily basis. And so I don't want to go back to that relapse. And a slip might just be a slip, and then, you know, you're fine for years, but a slip can also lead to a relapse. So, you know, picking up after a slip and just saying, okay, that was a slip, we got over it, or day one, or we continue on, we can be fine for years. It's being very careful after that slip, understanding why I had that slip, what made me pick up that food, what went wrong, what was missing, what tool was I not using, was I really making the outreach calls, was I serious with my conversation to my sponsor, what happened, because it's usually not that specific food. When I'm strong in my recovery and I'm abstinent, that food is not going to call. Yeah, food calls, but I know what to do now. I have tools. I can go distance myself from the situation. I can pick up the phone. I can sit down and write. I can pick up the big book, which I love to do. So I know what to do when food calls. It's when other things are going on that it becomes a problem. So it's always good for me. I stop, I pause, I sit down. I'll take a couple seconds if I don't have more, but usually I like to take a couple minutes. What is going on right this minute? Why is the food calling? What is really going on? Am I angry? Am I hungry? Am I lonely? Am I upset? Am I resentful? Can I do something about it? Serenity prayer. Love that serenity prayer. Getting rid of that first compulsive bite. Not taking that first compulsive bite. Not having that slip. Will stop a relapse. And it's hard to come back from relapse, but it's done. I did it. I had that relapse and came back. And the way back was exceptionally helpful. The fact that my sponsor kept calling me every couple of days or a week or two just to keep in touch, not to ask me about program, just to say hello. And after a few weeks, it was 2 months, so when I was ready to come back, I was able to call and can I continue with you? And she said, sure. So, but I'd rather not ever have to go through that experience again. So I'm very careful. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you. This is Suzanne. I've also had a few experiences where people intentionally will keep slipping. so they don't have to do the inventory questions. So after that happened a couple of times, I'm more on guard. I'm more alert to the signs that there might be issues around the inventory. And usually, once you've sponsored a couple of people, you can pick up on that. And so I might have them do a few days of other questions before we start the inventory, because for some reason some people are terrified of the inventory, and they will purposely slip, so they can go back to day one, and they don't have to do the inventory. So there's that as well. Anyone else who has a question?
Suzanne, this is Loretta. Would you accept somebody from outside your panel to read the definition of a slip that's in the sponsor guidelines?
Yes.
Okay. So it says here on page 4, it is the 1, 2, 3 flip paragraph. Explain that a slip is anything that is not on the food plan, anything more than the food plan allows, eating between meals, or skipping a meal. It doesn't talk about relapse. It just talks about the definition of a slip.
Thank you, Loretta. I'm just wondering if you would just tell us what page that was on so I can refer back
to it. Sure. It's page 4 of the sponsor guidelines, and it's the 4th full paragraph.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Loretta. Yeah, that's helpful. That's it in a nutshell.
Yep, that helped me. So, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Would anyone else like to share or ask a question on working with a newcomer?
I have another question if no one else does.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I came from another food program, and it was called Food Addicts Anonymous. And I didn't want to be called a food addict. When I heard about Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, that felt more like who I was, a compulsive eater as a newcomer. I get mixed messages when I hear people say food addict versus compulsive eater in recovery. So as a newcomer, if I came in, how do I identify myself in this program? Do I do both, or do I say compulsive eater in recovery? And what's the difference between the two, the food addict versus the compulsive eater? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. I'll answer that, and then Cheryl and Susan, if you want to chime in. I was taught this is Compulsive Eaters Anonymous. So we are compulsive eaters, and that's how we identify. We're not overeaters, we're not undereaters, because some of us are one or the other or both. So we are compulsive eaters, because that can go either way. And when I sponsor someone who came into another program, I just gently explain that to them. And it is confusing. Sometimes I hear people identify different things. One of my face-to-face meetings, there's a whole litany of how they identify. And there's actually a business meeting about we need to adhere to compulsive eater, and if you need to identify with something else after that. But yeah, we do identify as compulsive eaters. Susan, would you like to take this?
I would. Thank you, Susan, compulsive eater. And as I just said, I do identify when I start a share as compulsive eater, but I also believe that I'm an addict, and that is in alignment with the literature of 12-step recovery. It more thoroughly for me explains my behaviors, especially before I found recovery. But you know, I still have an addict mind, and so I do speak of the word addict and addiction when I speak of my process. And I think that is all I need to say on that. Thank you.
Cheryl?
I'm here. I apologize for saying food addict. I don't know why I did that. I never do. I consider myself a compulsive eater, and I always identify such at meetings and so on. But that did slip out, and I do definitely think that I'm a compulsive overeater, and I've been saying that for 14 years now. Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else would like to ask a question or share on working with a newcomer?
And just recognize that there's 6 more minutes left of the time we've allotted.
Yes. Thank you, Susan. Anyone else have any shares or questions on working with a newcomer? Well,
You know what? I have just one other thought. Just as this is Susan, compulsive eater, as a kind of an overview, a step back from the specifics. I mean, this was a lot of wonderful information that was shared today, and questions that were asked, important questions. And you know, just go back. I wanted to go back for a moment to someone who has not yet sponsored, and perhaps fearful or concerned about taking on that service. And we don't do this alone. We have our literature. We have our website. We have our sponsor. We have trusted fellows who have experience to share with us. And you do not do this alone. You sponsor up to the level and the point of your recovery. And you always can say, I don't know, I'm going to need to check on that when a sponsee asks you a question. And we do this as volunteers. We are not therapists. We are not professionals. We are fellows in this organization, Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How, and our common bond is that of compulsive eating and the hope for recovery. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. Also, one other thing I would add to, if you're working with a newcomer, if they live in an area where they have face-to-face meetings, I would really encourage them that it's important to get to those face-to-face meetings. And not, I'll speak for myself, I can hide and isolate on the phone bridge. It's so easy to do that. And so, you know, my sponsor tells me, you got to get to face-to-face meeting. I'm waiting. And I've had sponsees that may have only had 1 or 2 face-to-face meetings, and I encouraged them, well, it's not convenient. I said, well, you know, compulsive eating is not convenient either. So can you make an effort to get to one every once in a while? How about that? And we start there. And so, and I've had a sponsee that said, when are we going to send you into a face-to-face meeting? I'm like, oh, yeah. So, in we need both. If they have that option, I encourage them. I don't chastise them. I just, you know, let's try to do that. There are reasons why, and I explain the reasons why. It's good to do it, and we get out of ourselves, and it's a service as well. You're being of service to the meeting when we make an effort to get to a face-to-face meeting. We have time. Well, I don't think we have any more time. Let's see. Do we have our next date for our next forum? I know that we do, but I don't want to give the wrong date. Susan, what day did we decide?
I am not next to my phone where I put it in my thing, but I can travel there unless Cheryl has it in front of her.
Cheryl,
okay.
Do you remember?
No. I can make my way down. Oh, and actually someone said to give the workshop or the recording information. Hold on. So.
Okay. Well, I'll do that while you're looking for the next date.
Thank you.
So to hear this forum again, you dial into the recording line, which is 712-775-7029. The access code is the same as this forum, 552-679-223 pound, and it says for the most recent recording, hit the pound sign again, and there it will be.
This one is now the most recent.
This will
recording.
Be the most recent recording as soon as we're done.
And Cheryl, do you know how we're going to identify the previous recordings, like the last workshop and previous workshops? We may have lost Cheryl.
I don't think she has that information. She said at the beginning that'll be put out. Yeah, in the announcements, I think.
Okay, great. All right, and I do have the next sponsorship forum, same time.
11:05 Eastern, 8:05 Pacific, on July 16th, Sunday morning.
Okay, so that will be our next forum, July 16th, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, 8:05 Pacific. And I'd like to thank everybody who was here today. Please come join us for our next one. And I'll say, you know what, for today, let's finish with the Serenity Prayer. Star 6 to unmute. And I want to thank everybody again. Thank you, Cheryl and Susan, everybody who asked questions, and everybody who was here listening. All right, star 6 to unmute. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things
I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can. I will not be done. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Cheryl.
All right, take care, everyone. Bye-bye. Okay.